That is very celestial. I like that a lot. I'm glad I was given that one to find. So our phone numbers are 516-248-8252. 512. Oh, I'm sorry, 512. Oh, how could I get it wrong? 512-248-8252. 512-248-8252. And if you need to, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. So 512-248-8252. I don't know where the six came from.
Well, let me save you here and just quote Psalms 19 real quickly. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night sheweth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out. Hang on a second, my computer burped. Through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he hath set a tabernacle for the sun. And there's so much packed in that, that it would take me probably an hour to go through what's being said there and broken down in the Hebrew. But
the that's heavens just the declare first the four glory verses.
Yeah, the glory of God. And what is the glory of God? It's Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's exactly what the Masoreth is all about. It's telling the story of Christ from beginning to end. And here's a little thought I'll throw out there. The great circle, which the Masoreth is based on, you know, from Virgo to Leo, mm-hmm. is based on the great year, which is 25,920 years to make one revolution of that circuit.
That clock, right? So it's like 12 times 2,160, right?
Correct. Each section, each major zodiac section is 2,160 years. But one day I was sitting around and just minding my own business, and a thought popped in my head. Well, what if 1,000 years was as a day, and a day was as 1,000 years? And so my question to myself was, self, what is 25,920 days instead of years? And it turns out it's 72 years. And interestingly enough, if you take the date of Christ's birth, which is shown in the Great Pyramid to be September 29th, 2 BC, which, by the way, is Yom Teruah, or Trumpets, Feast of Trumpets, and you go to the destruction of the temple on the 9th of Av, 9th and 10th of Av, in AD 70, it's 72 years, depending on if you use 360-day years or 365.242, it's still to two significant digits is 72 years, mm-hmm. but also a major number in the pyramid is 71.52. So I'm trying to be brief here and paint with a broad brush, but I found that to be quite a fascinating coincidence.
So listeners, this is what Ken is telling us is how he arrived at being a preterist, which means all of the prophecies have been fulfilled, right?
Well, I wasn't going to go there. I didn't want people to turn off the show because a lot of people are
I received
that.
An email from someone, and you know, I don't give out names or anything, but it's kind of interesting. And I was thinking it was the 2160, but yeah, the great year, and mentioned something about that to them. you know, when I was talking about you being my guest, and they said that they pretty much were a preterist by the end of their Christian journey, and they're now thinking something else. So I don't want my journey to come to an end.
Well, you know, what you quoted from Mike earlier, if I remember correctly, those who don't know their past are destined to repeat it.
Right, and Cicero said you remain children if you don't know what happened before you were born.
Right, so even if it is complete, you still have a duty to know the biblical narrative and to be able to properly tell of the gospel, because the gospel doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know for sure that certain prophecies have been completed. Christ's work on the cross is complete.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't stop talking about it or building a solid foundation on that historical fact.
Right. And just like all of these Jewish, you know, ceremonies and things are really no longer required. After
the feast of the Moedim, the appointed times, are all part of the Levitical law, the ceremonial law, and Christ himself said, not one jot or tittle shall depart from the law until all is fulfilled.
Mm.
So there's that. And then the imminency aspect of almost the entire New Testament is one that is profoundly important, and one that's often overlooked by most people that I talk to. In almost every book of the Bible, some aspect of the last days is being mentioned. But it goes right back to what you just talked about, that 2,160 years is an age, which, mm-hmm. by the way, happens to be called an aeon, A-E-O-N.
Mm-hmm.
That's what 2,160 actually is. And that's actually what some of the scripture says, is the end of an age.
Right. And in fact, that's one of the mistranslations, is forever and ever or everlasting, and in reality, it would be an aeon.
Right. And not in every instance, but in some of these significant ones in terms of your eschatology or your understanding of end things. And, of course, it's the end of what? And in painting with broad brush, it's the end of the old covenant and the beginning of the new, which again is what the author of Hebrews belabors, that point, that there's a transition period, just like the 40 years wandering in the desert was that transition period, mm-hmm. to entering the promised land. And what happened during then? Those without faith were weeded out.
Right. And in fact, all of them were replaced, shall we say, except Caleb and Joshua, who were allowed to enter. Right.
Even Moses didn't get to enter.
Nope. Well, he had to hit the rock when he was supposed to talk to it. But he apparently had, so we're told, a little problem with speech, and he was a little mad. But that whole bit right there, too, had to do with water, right? Miriam, wherever they were, there would be a well or a spring or something come up. But she and Aaron, but her in particular at that point, thought Moses should give up and delegate, some of the duties to her and some of the others. And so she was covered with leprosy and died, right? And so then there were no more waters coming from because of her. Every time they'd stop. So that's when he had to talk to the rock, and he hit it instead, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Another sideline.
yeah, the importance is that people study the biblical narrative and history and even non-biblical sources to make their own determination of where they're at, because I'm certainly not where I was at 20 years ago. I'd be ashamed of myself. But, you know, it took me a long time, you know, basically because I believed what other people were saying from the pulpit and not from reading the Bible myself. I started mm-hmm. reading it for myself, and I was shocked.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe what I was reading. I'm like, this is totally different than what I understood.
Mm-hmm.
And there are keys to understanding the Bible, you know, the hermeneutics, the art and science of language translation.
Mm-hmm.
And a big part of that is audience relevance, and that meaning also the imminency, the time frame, because if you're talking to a particular audience who lived 2,000 years ago, it's, or a letter was written to somebody 2,000 years ago, it's kind of presumptuous to think that it was written to you today, which mm-hmm. doesn't mean that you can't benefit from what was said in the letter. You can benefit mm-hmm. significantly. It could save your life, even, but it wasn't written to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the biggest issue I have with the biblical narrative, is the imminency issue, where, you know, Christ said it in Matthew 24, Paul said it in Hebrews. I mean, the very beginning, well, excuse me, the author of Hebrews, I assume Paul wrote it, but we don't know. So forgive me for saying that way, but as long as you understand, I'm assuming that it was Paul, but we don't know. In the very beginning, he talks about how in times past, you know, God spoke to us by the prophets and so on, and now he speaks to us from Christ. I'm paraphrasing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to talk about how there's a new priest, a new high priest of the order of Melchizedek. And not of the order of Aaron, or the Levitical priesthood. And with the changing of the priesthood, there's a changing of the law. And so it's all responding to what you said about how that law, the Moedim, the feasts, were complete in Christ. And, you know, again, they're part of the Levitical law, which is part of the Old Covenant. And I know I'm going to upset a lot of people by talking about this, but again, we benefit greatly from studying the Moedim, from studying the Feast of Trumpets, from studying the Atonement, Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur, and, you know, Tabernacles and Passover, Unleavened Bread, and First Fruits, all of those. We have to study them. We have to understand them to appreciate the gospel message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we do have our first caller, Brent in Texas, on line 3. You want to take him? Ken,
yes,
you ready,
Greg,
for caller?
Ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. I just wanted to, point out some things that maybe you've overlooked or not. I'm not sure. But
sure.
we have an astrology out there that has been reported to be, taboo. Okay. So why would they make it taboo? But second of all, the Western interpretations versus the Vedic or the Eastern interpretations of the astrology are much different, but they have the same components, basically. What the Western does is it ignores the sizes of the constellations that go across that zodiac wheel, which is only a few of the constellations, of course. And that's just the main clock for the moving heavenly bodies. Okay. Now, every 72 years, the entire clock is adjusted slightly.
1 degree, I believe.
This ensures complete uniqueness of the actual rays, let's say, or waves, or frequencies, or that come from the heavens to affect our pineal glands and christen our chrism, which is our spinal fluid, and all it does is make you smarter and more wise and opens your eyes to the heavens and allows you to appreciate the source of creation, whatever it is. But this 72-year mark has been completely ignored because it was developed by Ptolemy and other Greek and associates or whatever, and it freezes the zodiac, and they divide it up equally, the circle, and assign it. For example, Scorpio is the smallest constellation in the entire zodiac. There are very few people that are born in Scorpio because it's the smallest constellation. One of the larger constellations is something like Leo or Sagittarius. So more people would be Sagittarians or Leo. But this Western interpretation has skewed all of it, and it isn't worth it. It isn't worth studying that Western astrology. So you need to get to the real. What you see in the sky at night is in contrast to what they're telling you. The sun is in a certain sign, for example, when it's not. You see what I'm saying? The reality is that the Western...
Are you talking about sidereal versus apparent?
No, sidereal, true position. We even have computer programs now that will show you exactly in the sky the size of the constellation and exactly where the sun is. And they're going around saying it's in another sign. You see what I'm saying?
Let me comment on your first point and the differentiation between astronomy and astrology. A lot of people will say astrology is bad, and I will agree that Western astrology is terrible bad. But back in the day, astronomy was like the physics of the stars, and astrology was the story of the stars, meaning the Maserat versus the Mazalot. So one is talking about the movements, and one is talking about the story they tell, like in the heavens declare the glory of God.
Right, they declare the glory of God, and they are in a real position. And you cannot deny that. I mean, you can't say, "Well, you're Capricorn," when you're not. because you were born on a certain day, and on that day, the sun wasn't in Capricorn.
And right, and that's Western astrology, where you know, we're committing the sin of what Israel was chastised for, is making it about us instead of about Christ.
Exactly. Right. And, you know, astronomy will line up perfectly with astrology, you know, when you look at it, okay, when you actually know what's going on up there. Astronomy and astrology are, like you said, one is the actual positions and maybe even the scientific way it all works, okay? You could throw that in with astronomy, and astrology is the result of all of that. Maybe you could differentiate them, but they really should be in congruence. They should be compatible, and they are. And that's, and when you study it, you start finding all it's totally, get this, you'll never know it all. Not on this planet. You'll never know it all. It's a journey. There's no book that can hold all of this.
I so agree. That's why I came before this call with fear and trembling, because it's an all-encompassing issue. So I couldn't agree more. And then to piggyback on what you're saying, that due to the precession of the equinoxes, there can only be one time in 25,920 years that some of these events can take place.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a giant clock, and just like any analog clock can tell you hours, minutes, or seconds, or days or years, even depending on, you know, what numbers you have on the face of the clock, or how it's divided up. The same with the Maserat. You can look at it in smaller fractions or larger fractions, but it's all still the same clock.
And, yes, sir.
I'll have to look into what you're saying about the size, because I kind of know what you're talking about, but according to the Maserat, it's supposed to be divided up into 30-degree sections, you know, each.
No, you sign. Can't do that. You can't arbitrarily assign it to the heavens. You let the heavens assign it to us.
That was one of the problems.
Let me say this. I really appreciate this program here. This is great. This is right
we'll
up my
more.
Alley. I mean, I was sitting here. I'm kind of under the weather, but I just had to give you a call. It's one of the greatest shows I've heard recently, and it's at the tip of the spear, you know, of what's going on, and your guest is just delightful, and I appreciate everything. I want you to know that. And there was something else on the tip of my tongue, though. Oh, now I'm going to blow your mind a little bit, okay?
Let me grab some coffee first. All right, go
ahead. Okay, here you go. You ready? You sitting down? All right. We're updated 22 billion times per second. We're in a hologram. It was created by whatever created it. But it were updated 22 billion times every second. And that's what produces this. And it's all energy. All energy. Everything you see is energy in a different form. Okay? There you go. That's where you live.
Thank you, Brent. I like that. You know, Sitchin and others, too, what you were saying about the size of the constellations and the, you know, so therefore the ages, that there was a big war in heaven because of that, because there was a space between two of the different signs, and I'm forgetting which ones, but I think it's on the opposite side from the other thing I wanted to bring up about Ophiuchus. And Ken and I had talked about this a little bit, so maybe we'll talk some more about that.
Okay.
Yeah, there's so much to it that, you know, we could probably do this for 10 or 20 more shows.
it'd be like for infinity, okay? All right? I'm telling you, it's a journey that doesn't end. Doesn't end. Nobody ever knows it all. Nobody. Especially not me.
Well, the bottom line is that the Maserati.
Bottom line is there's no bottom line. Okay, I'm going to get off. I'm getting cantankerous here.
Well, thank you, Brent. We'll have him back on so he'll make you well.
Okay, same to you. Same to you. Love.
Thank you,
peace.
Brent.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, the bottom line to me, in my understanding, which I admit is limited, I'm always learning something new, just like I learned something new just now. So it reminds me of a big old poster we had in shop class. I mean, when I went to high school, we actually had shop. We had metal shop, wood shop, auto shop. Now, the only shop you have is Amazon, but it had this big poster which said, there's no room like our room for improvement. So I stand by that, and the more I know, the more I realize I don't know. But the bottom line is, painting with the broad brush, finally had, you know, a six-second sound bite to get to somebody, is that the Maserath tells the gospel in the stars.
Yeah. That's to be remembered. Yep.
But it's, there are so many references to it, and a lot of them you just read over and you don't really realize the significance. I mean, you have all these Hebrew and Greek words which are talking about the planets, Jupiter and Saturn and the sun and the moon and stars, and perfect timing for the music, for you have like Strong's G792 Aster, a star, G5459, you have light bringing the morning star, which is phosphorus. Anyhow, I yield to music.
Yep, we'll be back in about 3 minutes. We're into our last half hour, if anyone wants to call in.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Okay, I think we're back here. So, Ken, kind of bring us back into line here, what you're trying to share with us.
Well, I love phone calls like that because it's always nice to discuss things and learn new things and do it in a way where even if you don't agree, which I'm not saying I don't agree, I'm just saying that it's nice to be able to have discussions because that's how we learn. That's how we continue to learn. One thing I wanted to mention that I forgot before because I'm still thawing out from my brain freeze was in Revelation where it was talking about the four beasts and the four living ones, living creatures. Those are the four cardinal points of the zodiac. We'll say zodiac so it's, people understand the Maseroth. And it's the same thing with the encampment around the tabernacle or the temple. So you would have had Leo, the tribe of Judah, was the representative of Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun, and then Dan was the representative of Dan, Asher, and Naphtali, if I'm saying them correctly, and then Reuben was the representative of Gad, Reuben, and Simeon, and then Ephraim was a representative of Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh. And so you have a parallel between what the tabernacle was and the zodiac and with what's being talked about in Revelation. So that should help to understand what's being talked about and the time frame of what's being talked about in Revelation.
Could you answer a question for me, though? When they're set up at their camp like that, would they be like positioned in the cardinal direction, so they were like under that constellation too? Or wasn't it that specific?
Well, it was pointing towards the north, south, east, and west, necessarily those constellations. It depends on the time of year,
right?
Stuff like that.
I'm going to say most cultures really do put a lot of importance on the cardinal directions in different times of the year and different situations where we hardly even notice what the cardinal directions are often.
Well, interestingly enough, to the Israelites, the main direction was east and not north like we do today. And that's because the temple had only openings on the east side. And that's how, when Christ gave up the ghost on the cross and they saw the temple rent, curtain rent in two, was only possible from up on the Mount of Olives looking down into the temple. The gate on that side of the temple complex was lower than the other three sides. And then on the Maseroth, I'm still studying this and playing around with it. I don't know, but if Roth is red and Nazar, what Maza is based on, the root, and that means consecrated, and then red, well, it's the blood of the Lamb that saves us. So I have to do more studying, untying all that together, but I think that's what the Maseroth is ultimately about. Again, it's the gospel and the stars, and what is the good news? The good news is that he died to take our sins from us and reestablish our relationship with the Father. Again, painting with a broad brush, covering a lot of ground, but a lot of smart people out there, they'll make the connections.
Yeah. It's very interesting, that's for sure. And like you and Brent both said, could go on forever. So you're going to need to come back and tell us some more, because it's just so interesting, so infinitesimally interesting. And, people can go out at night and, if there's a clear sky, you can just see so much. And, of course, Orion is probably the most identifiable constellation, I think, right?
Well, and it's rising now. Went out early this morning, took my dog outside, and there was the mighty Orion, which, interestingly enough, is actually supposed to be about Yeshua, Orion, Yeshua, also, Yehoshua and other names, but it got the name Orion because of Nimrod, Tower of Babel, changing of the names, right? The mighty hunter, Nimrod. So still carry that change today. And It's the Babylonian definitions and not the original Maserat. You know, a lot of that is lost to us, but what's not lost are many of the original names of the stars that make up the constellations that are very specific and very Hebrew, and yet all of the people of the world, whether Chinese or Egyptians and Arabians, or all have their versions of the zodiac, but they still contain many of the original Hebrew names.
Yeah.
Thus validating the antiquity of the story of the Maserat.
Mm-hmm. And that's supposedly, you know, part of a major part of Tower of Babel when they were dispersed. But they each took different symbols, but the same story, and portray it even in a landscape like the Nazca lines. You know, that's their own version of the zodiac.
Well, each of the 12 tribes had the symbol of the Maserat that they displayed on their shields, kind of like family crest type things.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my train of thought. So it's just completely intertwined with the biblical narrative. And again, if you can just try to interpret your reading of the Bible, considering the sun and the moon, the stars, and how that gospel and the stars is an integral part of the biblical narrative, it really makes reading the Bible much more enjoyable, I think, and takes away a lot of the ammo of the higher critics as well.
Yeah. And like you were saying about the Chinese and the different cultures, and they have their own way of expressing it, but still retain some of that seed, you know, from the beginning. And it's interesting, the Chinese go by a yearly rather than a monthly zodiac, you know,
well,
every 12 years.
Yeah, they have lunar clocks, some have solar clocks. But
right.
The Hebrew is a lunar solar, where they have both. The lunar zodiac happens like 12 times in a year, approximately 27 days, where the solar, you know, happens once a year, that the sun goes through the ecliptic, or the path of the sun through the stars, indicating, you know, where each position of the Maserat is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so interesting. But like you say, we end up so often turning it all about us, you know, so it's more ego over heart in our learning journey.
Right, and that's exactly what happened to Tower of Babel. It became about mankind or men rather than about the Christ, about the Messiah. And we know from Genesis and the story of Adam and Eve, where you hear the proto-evangelion, how they had to have known about the zodiac, the Maserat, even back then, because of just the way things happened, like when Cain brought his grain sacrifice versus Abel brought his blood sacrifice. So there's just so many things that make more sense when you look at it from the perspective of them already knowing the gospel and the stars.
Yeah, and, you know, kind of traditionally to try to discourage that. I mean, now it's like, you know, nothing to do with God. And so therefore, you know, nature abhors a vacuum. There isn't any. And we've got Satan, you know, which is it's God, Satan, but still, you know, and you speak about the Constitution, everyone talks about it like it is the Bible, and like these founding fathers are gods, and that the state itself now is a god, you know, and and although the Constitution should never have been like it was, because it was ramrodded through and for purposes of taxing and everything else, but it was stated to be a protection of our God-given rights. And at the same time, we had different Jewish people, Jonas Phillips, for one, writing to Washington, and Alexander Hamilton, and they didn't want any religious test. They basically contradict themselves, Jonas Phillips did, in one sentence where he says, believe the Bible, both Old and New Testament, is divinely inspired, but we won't, as Jews, follow the New Testament. Yeah. So,
well, it's another fascinating aspect of this, in that most of what I quoted from today was from either Bollinger's work or Sayce's work. I always have a problem saying his name. I want to say it wrong. Or Rolston. They all worked, or at least Bollinger and Sayce did their work in the late 1800s, right at that very time when all these changes were being made to the Bible. This came out, these tremendous works that these people did. It was just really amazing, the amount of information that's in their books. And so I honestly believe that it was to counter the false gospel that was trying to be promulgated during that time, because the politics always follow the religion. So if they can change the religion, then they can get their political changes. So you bring up a very interesting point that drives me to comment on that. Are we still on?
Oh, I must have had my mute on. I'm sorry. Dear. Sorry about that. I knew I'd catch myself doing that. I muted it when I was typing here. But I was just saying about the timing being so important, and that's in the Zodiac, too. You know, it's all combined. It's all related.
Right. That's another great point. The seven feasts are called the Moed. In the plural, the Moedim, which means the appointed times. And then even Christ himself said, no man knows the day or hour except the Father in heaven. Well, they're his appointed feast, his appointed times.
Mm-hmm.
So timing is very important, because what good would prophecy be if there is no time component? How could, mm-hmm. what difference would prophecy make? It would make none. But when you tell of something happening, you know, years or hundreds of years, and even some instances, thousands of years before it happens, and then it happens exactly as prophesied, and exactly when it was prophesied, there's no getting past that. That has to be ontologically above man. It has to be from a higher ontological status than man, somebody that lives outside of time.
Yeah. And there again with creation and, you know, the evolutionists, they sort of tell on themselves, because they, you know, we don't see it happening now, but we know that over time miracles happen. Well, what are they admitting there? If you give it enough time.
Well, exactly. Punctuated equilibrium, which is a red herring, because even if you allow for evolution, it still begs the question of what caused that pinhead sized galaxy to explode. Objects at rest tend to stay at rest, right? Mm-hmm. So unless acted upon by an outside force. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then it begs the question of where did that pinhead galaxy or, you know, universe come from in the first place? Because we know through logic, ex nihilo nihil fit, out of nothing, nothing comes.
Right.
So something had to bring it into existence. It couldn't mm-hmm. have always been there because you can't get something from nothing.
As the lyrics of the song go.
Yeah. Gosh, there was something else I was going to say about that, but I start thinking ahead of what I'm talking about. And
yeah, I know what you're saying.
Ex nihilo nihil fit. You can't even imagine a time when there was nothing.
Right.
Absolutely nothing. Because you'll have to have a Descartes moment where you doubt everything until you realize you're doubting that you're doubting, which means that you exist, you know, e cogito ergo sum. You can't even imagine it, because if you're trying to imagine time when there's nothing, you're imagining it, which means that there's still something.
Well, we're just about out of time, but I see a couple questions from a chatter here. Isn't the Bible a warning book? And if God is great, why need a book?
I touched on that a little bit because
yeah, you
we
did.
Have the gospel
right,
the stars, but you know, we keep on sinning until he finally says, look, I'm carving it in stone. You can't mess with that. You can't mm-hmm. change the names. You can't change the font. You know, it's carved in stone.
Yeah, the New Times Roman lowercase g, right? How it looks like a little snake. The other day, Brent Winters was saying how there's something about us that we like to read what's written down and we believe it, right? And then I was telling him that on the 6th, which was Friday, was a traditional day that William Tyndale is honored for his sacrifice, you know, where he was burned at the stake, but apparently the King James Version, a lot of that came from his work. It wasn't directly from the original sources. You know, some was, but he translated that. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm agreeing. Yeah, mostly Tyndale. Tyndale didn't complete all of it into English, but he did a lot of it in English.
Well, he did Genesis through Second Chronicles, I think. From Hebrew.
The whole steak thing is interesting conversation, but probably for another time.
Yep. Well, thank you for being with us again. That's perfect timing. Yeah.
Well, yeah, speaking of time, I hope that I was able to convey some truth and lift up the biblical narrative. I feel completely not up to the task, but at the same time, it's so important that I hope it blessed somebody and will cause them to look at the scriptures in a new way. Thank you, Merv,
thank you
for letting me in.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And I think we'll reserve the celestial music for your visits.
All right. Thanks again.
Thank you, everyone. Yeah. Спасибо. До свидания. Thank you. God go with.
Interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm getting excited about